And welcome back to Subject to Discussion, the 166-hour commercial break. Thank you for coming back to the program. This is Subject to Discussion live on LVRocks.com every Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. Pacific Time. It starts at 8 o'clock if you're in the Central Time Zone in Chicago, or 9 p.m. if you're on the East Coast in New York or anywhere on the East Coast. And tonight's guest will be Dan Real from the Real World View blog, and with the latest on Katrina and the blogosphere's impact on Katrina. And in the second hour will be Bob Sassoni from the TV Squad, and he'll review with us how the media has been doing with the Katrina coverage. And tonight I had expected to have Mary McDonnell on from Battlestar Galactica, but I was called, and they said that she will not be able to make it due to they're filming a key episode. Apparently it's episode 212, I believe it is, and it's a key episode for her. And that's the one that Koenig Rules gave away the spoiler on that from last week. And she's filming some very dramatic scenes, and so she will not be able to make it. So we're going to reschedule, and I'm working on getting Grace Park on for next week. But so far, they have not gotten the production schedule for next week yet. So we can time a call-in for Grace Park. But, you know, I'm still working on it, so we'll see what happens. And so other than that, we'll see what happens. And the program, the website is subject2discussion.com, and I got screens all around me now. I got a screen over here. I got a big screen back here. We got a refrigerator over there. Is there a body in that refrigerator? No? Subway? Yeah, subway oven. And then, where are we at here? In the show, it's Subject to Discussion is podcast over on lvrocks.com. Go over to the left-hand side of the screen where it says podcasts and click on that. It takes you over to the podcasts for the program and all the other programs on lvrocks.com. And Subject to Discussion is archived over at spankwagon.net. Heard every Friday from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Pacific Time on LVRocks.com. And also, I want to thank, I should record this because it's the same thing every week.
we should.
Thanks to Dilby, The Moderate Voice, Real World View, TV Squad, and The Political Teen for their plugs about the program tonight. And as I said, in a few minutes, in a little bit, we'll be joined by Dan Real, and we'll talk about what's going on with Katrina and everything else. And right now, we'll just go through a little bit of the news. And news to you. Oh, email subject number 2 discussion at lvrocks.com. And the first bit is from the William Rehnquist funeral that was today. President Bush and Sandra Day O'Connor remember Rehnquist. President Bush led the nation a final tribute to William H. Rehnquist, the 16th Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, as a steady leader and a man of a lifetime of integrity. And they buried him at Arlington National Cemetery in a grave that's not far from where several other justices are interred. And Senator Day O'Connor is going to stay on now until they find a replacement for her, because President Bush has nominated John Roberts to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and she said she'll stay on until they find a replacement for her. So I guess she called President Bush, and she said, I better start reading up, because she expected to be gone off the Supreme Court by October when the session starts. So now she's going to be staying on for a while, and Bush is starting speculation who it's going to be. He did a whole press conference at his cabinet meeting, and he looked at Alberto Gonzalez as a potential candidate for the Supreme Court for Sandra Day O'Connor's position. But I expect he's going to nominate a woman for that post, so we'll see what happens there. And Roberts was among other law clerks of Rehnquist who carried the casket into Arlington National Cemetery, and Rehnquist was buried in an older section of the cemetery not far from where Chief Justice Warren Burger, Justices Harry Blackmun, William Brennan, William O. Douglas, Potter Stewart, and Thurgood Marshall are buried. So, and, well, he's been around for a lot. A lot of key cases he was involved with, of course, the Clinton impeachment trial, and he was also involved with the, he was the dissenting vote in Roe v. Wade.
Roe v. Wade.
I'm out of it today for some reason. And then he was also key in the, what else was, the Bush election victory in 2000, so he was key in that. And this next one is from today, from Ford Motor Company. The Ford Motor Company is recalling 3.8 million pickups and SUVs. Ford Motor Company on Wednesday recalled 3.8 million pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles for a cruise control switch suspected of causing engine fires. It is the fifth largest auto industry recall in U.S. history. I didn't see this anywhere else except on Fox today. It was amazing. Ford said the recall of 1994 to 2002, 8 years, model year vehicles includes the model's hot-selling F-150 pickup truck, Ford Expedition, Lincoln Navigator, and Ford Bronco. I wonder if that includes OJs. The company said it would start sending out recall notices to vehicle owners immediately. I'd say so, that many cars. And Toyota, meanwhile, recalled 978,000 SUVs and pickup trucks amid concerns over the power steering system. Now, the affected vehicles include the 1990 to 1995 4Runner SUV, 1989 to 1995 truck, four-wheel drive, and 1993 to 1998 T100 pickups. So blah blah blah. Toyota, Santa, Rodland, and Rican. In the Ford case, the NHTSA has received more than 550 complaints of engine fires from the cruise control switch. There have been allegations of 3 deaths in cases cited in news reports or lawsuits in Iowa, Georgia, and Arkansas. So, wow, can get those cars back and get them fixed, for crying out loud. And this is from the report that Paul Volcker has submitted to the UN, criticizes the UN on the oil for food scandal. A year-long investigation of the UN oil for food program issued a strong indictment of the United Nations and its top leadership on Wednesday, concluded they tolerated corruption and allowed Saddam Hussein's government to pocket $10.2 billion. Secretary General Kofi Annan called the findings deeply embarrassing to all of us. No kidding. And he accepted the criticism leveled at him personally. But he said he had no intentions of resigning. He's got to get out of there. He's just corrupt. Instead, Annan urged world leaders at next week's UN summit to use the golden opportunity to adopt UN reforms. The Independent Inquiry Committee said were imperative for the world body to regain its respect and credibility, whatever credibility they have left. The committee's 5-volume, 1,036-page report concludes that those responsible for managing the $64 billion oil for food program, both UN member states and the world body's staff, failed the ideals of the United Nations and ignored clear evidence of corruption and waste. What about his own son? I don't see any.
Oh, there's a whole bunch in that report about his son.
Yeah, and he should resign because he turned a blind eye to his son. He said the report does not say why the corruption was overlooked, but notes that Russia was one of the nations that long blocked efforts to probe the claims. Russian companies were heavily involved in oil for food, and the country was a leading proponent of lifting the UN sanctions. Yeah, nothing more to be said about that. I mean, you got to tip your hat to Fox because they stay on that story for ever since that broke, and so good for them. And Volcker, I kind of question him because, you know, Volcker, he is a hack. I mean, a political hack. Yeah. I'd have somebody else in there doing it, maybe a judge or something like that, not a political hack.
I actually thought that Volcker was going to die before he got done because that guy, he's just like Rehnquist. He won't stop. He won't resign. Yeah. He won't do anything.
Well, hopefully. And then we had today from Las Vegas, from the Rod Stewart trial. Rod Stewart must pay $2 million to the Rio Hotel and Casino. Singer must return advance plus interest, but he will appeal, of course. This is from Las Vegas. A federal jury decided Wednesday that Rod Stewart should pay a Las Vegas casino $2 million plus interest for a canceled show in December of 2000. Which was supposed to be the New Year's Eve Millennium concert he was supposed to put on at the Rio. The 7-member jury found unanimously that Stewart should not have kept an advance he was paid for the show at the Rio. The 60-year-old Stewart, who was not in the U.S. District Court when the verdict was reached, had said he was unable to perform because of a throat surgery several months earlier. So the star is going to appeal it, of course. I mean, he shouldn't have kept that money. I think, you know, if the Harris was in the right frame of mind, they'd donate that money to the Red Cross or something because they all need a $2 million, you know.
They always have to have some kind of a show insurance in case things don't happen.
Yeah, from
right
Lloyd's in London or something like that. Yeah.
And so that should have covered it all. So, you know, if they're going after the guy for the money, that's kind of wrong.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, I mean, if they do get it bad, they should donate it to charity. Florida, reporter for Florida newspaper shot in Louisiana. This is from Tuesday. A reporter for the St. Petersburg Times newspaper was shot and wounded while covering the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the newspaper reported on Tuesday. Marcus Franklin, 34, was shot late Monday when he was treated at Baton Rouge General Hospital and released. He had been reporting on evacuees returning to their homes in Jefferson Parish near New Orleans. He said he was on his way back to his motel in Baton Rouge when he stopped at a stop sign. He said he had his window rolled down. A man with a revolver appeared and asked him how much money he had. He said, quotes, "I looked at the gun sort of in disbelief. That's when I heard a pop. It's like a proverbial firecracker." So he had been shot in the stomach and called 911 and spent the night in the hospital and was flown back to St. Petersburg on Tuesday. So we got to get those people out of there. I mean, there's manual mandatory evacuations. Get those people out of there. You know, there's carnage over there in New Orleans. And then we had, of course, yesterday the big news that Bob Denver, TV's Gilligan, died at 70 years of age. I met him about 2 years ago at the Rio. He was they had the Gilligan's Island slot machines. I had met him there. He was a real nice. Kept wearing a Gilligan outfit, even you know, in his later years.
It's unfortunate
he
that
beat
he
his
got,
character to death.
He got typecast so bad. Just like nearly everybody that was ever on Star Trek got the same thing.
Yeah, Gilligan,
you
can't he never
do anything.
Only time I remember see Gilligan or Gilligan Bob Denver show up anywhere was on the Love Boat. So, so of course he was on Gilligan's Island. He was on the Many Lives of Dobie Gillis. So,
Dobie Gillis,
man, what
good.
A legend! What a legend! Yeah, what a legend. So, yeah, Gilligan's Island still being played. I think they said that all over the world, no more than 2 hours goes by when there's a rerun of Gilligan's Island playing somewhere. So, and this one's a change of pace. This is also from Tuesday. A child in charge of 6 babies in the chaos that was Causeway Boulevard. This group of refugees stood out. A 6-year-old boy walking down the road holding a 5-month-old surrounded by 5 toddlers who followed him around as if he were their leader. They were holding hands. 3 of the children were about 2 years old. 1 was wearing only diapers. A 3-year-old girl who wore colorful barrettes on the ends of her braids had her 14-month-old brother in tow. The 6-year-old spoke for all of them and told reporters his name was Demont Love. Thousands of human stories have flown past relief workers, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's terrible that this 6-year-old boy had to be leading a group of 6 babies in this disaster. Horrible. So many stories coming out of that. I mean, and they had Geraldo on there rescuing that poor old lady and her dog, Florida, and Duffy, Dusty, where it was. That was very touching. Navy sailor on leave from Iraq is killed in shooting. This is from Monday. His brother, U.S. Navy sailor on leave from a tour of duty in Iraq was killed in a shooting Saturday evening. They also left his brother, his pregnant wife, and their unborn baby wounded. The soldier, 20 years old, was shopping with his wife and brother in a strip mall and on South Atlantic Avenue near Compton when 2 people believed to be gang members approached and assaulted the soldier. And sheriff's deputy is saying he goes to defend himself, and one of the gang members draws a gun and begins shooting at the group. The victims were taken to a local hospital where the soldier was pronounced dead. The baby, a girl, was delivered prematurely with a wound to her leg. Hippolito's, the soldier, his name is Hippolito, his brother and wife were in stable condition. The soldier, who had been a police explorer at the Compton Sheriff's Station before he joined the Navy in 2003, was assigned to the amphibious assault ship Germantown, currently docked in San Diego. Horrible! Horrible! The poor guy comes back from Iraq and gets blown, gets killed from a gang member in Compton, and his baby gets, premature baby's born with a bullet wound to the leg. Horrible. Tombstone, Arizona, tries to dodge bullets, threatened loss of historic status, spurs new plan. This is from Monday as well. It's from the Arizona Daily Star newspaper. Tombstone, it's okay to cash in on Wild West myths, but don't lie about history. That's the message planners and architects delivered to Tombstone on Sunday as the federal government considers yanking the attraction's National Historic Landmark status. Last year, the National Park Service put Tombstone on notice, warning the landmark status was in jeopardy because of fake facades, anachronistic colors, and bogus dates painted on newer buildings. On Sunday, after 3 days of public input, walking tours, and design, blah, blah, blah. The Tombstone design status will be revisited in 2 years, but the National Park Service won't necessarily remove the landmark label then. This is ridiculous. I mean, this Tombstone's supposed to be a historic town. They're not putting up as much of fake dates on these buildings and building new buildings with fake dates on it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Where are we here? This guy urges residents to watch out for square nails. It's the only kind of nail available in the town until 1890. If you find a square nail, make sure whatever it's holding stays on. It's the original authentic fabric of Tombstone, Arizona. So, and they say Tombstone's population is 1,750, could swell in the coming decades to 10,000. That's why they're trying to keep the town, you know, as authentic as possible. But don't lie about the damn dates of those buildings are crying out. You know, you can say it's reconstructed, it's, inspired by the 1890s or something. I mean, it just makes sense. So, and what else we have? Hong Kong urges Disney to cut visitor capacity at new park. This is on Tuesday. Hong Kong's government has urged the Walt Disney Company to cut the maximum number of people allowed in its new park after visitors complained of long waits at a trial opening over the weekend. The park admitted about 30,000 guests on Sunday for a rehearsal, but visitors found themselves waiting in line for up to 3 hours of some popular rides. Hope it's not It's a Small World. Ugh, that horrible ride. Yeah, this song stays in your head. I mean, I guess it's not. That was the coolest place. If you want to cool off in Disneyland, Disney World, go to the Small World. You know, many waited up to half an hour at fast food outlets. The park, which is built to take a maximum capacity of 30,000 visitors, officially opens next Monday. So Hong Kong is going to put the pressure on Disney to limit the amount of people they let in the park. This is from Monday. Dog saves life of man threatening suicide. A Malaysian man was about to jump to his death from a highway overpass, but changed his mind when told that his pet dog was dying, a news report said Monday. The 40-year-old man who recently lost his job had threatened to jump from a 33-foot bridge in Kuala Lumpur on Sunday, despite pleas from rescue workers that he think of his wife and children, and rescue workers quickly hatched another plan when they found out his pet dog was locked inside his car near the overpass. They told the man the dog was dying of suffocation. On hearing that his pet might die, the man began crying, blah, 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 blah. So he managed to persuade him to abort his suicide attempt. So he didn't care about his wife and his children. They sent mention his dog was suffocating. Then he came out. So, amazing. Amazing. This one's from Monday from the Chicago Tribune. Car crashes into... Actually, this was on WGN. Yeah, WGN. Well, it's Tribune Broadcasting. Diane, WGN, if anybody knows what those initials mean in Chicago, WGN, of course, Channel 9 in Chicago, stands for World's Greatest Newspaper, the Tribune. Car crashes into garage, kills man visiting family. This is from Midlothian, Illinois, which is southwest of Chicago, kind of a slipping neighborhood. My mother used to be the... one of the executives at a bank there. An Alsip man, another downtrodden area in southwest side of Chicago. An Alsip man was killed Saturday in Midlothian when a car being loaded onto a trailer crashed into a garage in a residential street. Dale Hyatt, 46, of McDaniel Street, was visiting his family in Millard Avenue when he was hit. I know Millard Avenue very well. Police said the guy was loading a car was being loaded on a trailer used to transport vehicles. About 11:55 a.m., they lost control of the car, which struck a vehicle parked on the street, then crashed into the garage where Hyatt was visiting. Hyatt was pronounced dead at 12:52 p.m. at St. Francis Hospital, police said. That's amazing. St. Francis Hospital is located in a community southwest of Chicago called Blue Island, and Blue Island is used to be an upper crust neighborhood. Now it's not doing too well. The only thing that Blue Island in Illinois, in Chicago, is known for now is one of the original White Castle hamburgers. So, and that was a city where I had a cousin years ago that was his girlfriend murdered him with a shotgun to the blow to the chest, and the killer's mother, she was a high roller in Blue Island and managed to get all that swiped away. All of a sudden, they trumped up all these things that my cousin was abusing her, abusing the girl that shot him, and all of a sudden, all this stuff came out of nowhere. Oh, he's an abuser, he's this, he's that, and they never charged the girl for killing my cousin, so that's a little story. Disgraced Australian politician in apparent suicide bid. This is from Tuesday. A leading Australian politician who resigned in disgrace over a racist remark and sexual harassment of female journalists was recovering in hospital after an apparent suicide attempt. John Brogdon, 36, who quit as a new South Wales state opposition Liberal Party leader on Monday, was found unconscious in a back room of his office late Tuesday with a self-inflicted stab wounds. He had been drinking heavily. Police said the wounds were minor. The apparent suicide attempt came as Sydney newspaper prepared to publish more allegations about inappropriate behavior towards a number of female members of his staff and journalists. Yay. Brogdon, what's the name of the guy, he resigned after it was revealed that he called the Malaysian wife, a former South Wales Premier, Bob Carr, a mail order bride, and pinched the bottom of one female journalist and propositioned another at an alcohol-fueled party. Oh, my God. He denied being drunk at the party, thrown for the media by the Australian Hotel Association 2 weeks ago, but admitted drinking 6 beers to celebrate Carr's resignation. Brogdon apologized publicly to Carr, his wife Helena, and two women at a news conference when he announced he would quit the post that it could have seen him become a state premier. Ugh, weird. And this is from Monday. Jerry Lewis raises $55.9 million for the Muscular Dystrophy Association and storm victims. The Jerry Lewis Labor Day Telethon raised $54.9 million for the Muscular Dystrophy Association, more than $1 million for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. A lot of people are saying that Jerry Lewis should have given all that money he raised to Katrina, but he can't do that because when you're given to MDA, those donations are specifically set for MDA. You can't go, I'm going to take $10 million and give it to MDA, give it to the Katrina. So he had to raise money on top of that for the Red Cross. That's why he couldn't take money out. You know, he explained that to Larry King the other night.
I actually donated to Katrina victims the other day from a site that I go to quite a bit. It was really, really good for them. Only thing is it got refunded to me.
Really?
Because PayPal is who everything was set up through.
Uh-huh.
And they decided that the site was a super popular site.
Uh-huh.
And they shut the account down because in, I think it was like 4 or 5 hours, or no, it was 8 hours. In the first 8 hours, over $30,000 had been raised.
Hmm.
And PayPal thought instantly, you're guilty
really?
Of being a thief if all of a sudden
really?
You get a bunch of money. So they shut it down. He took 5 days trying to fix it, and finally got on the phone with one of them, and they just wouldn't do anything for him. So he ended up having to refund everything.
Huh.
And he's going to start up the drive again, but try to do it through somewhere else, some other service besides PayPal, because obviously PayPal hates the U.S.
Really?
Huh.
That's the only thing I can get from it.
And what else? Oh, yeah. Jerry Lewis. Well, good for Jerry Lewis. He gave $1 million to the Katrina victims. This is also from Chicago, ABC7Chicago.com, which is WLS, which stands for World's Largest Store. Sears started WLS in Chicago, so that's why they have WLS, World's Largest Store. 9 men accused of rape of runaway girl. Horrible. This is from Sunday. From 9 Granite City men. Granite City is in Illinois, along the river. 9 Granite City men are accused. Get a little of this. Accused of taking turns raping a 15-year-old runaway girl for nearly a month. Each is facing a charge of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. No kidding. Police say the Collinsville girl was moved between the men's homes, where she was given drugs and alcohol so she wouldn't leave. Granite City Police spokesman Rich Miller says, you don't know how the girl got involved with the men. Well, they grabbed her and they raped her. Of course, that's what happened. Ew, horrible. La Crosse gets closer to considering keg registration ordinance. This is from La Crosse, Wisconsin. La Crosse liquor store owners would need to take a $100 deposit from people renting beer kegs on a proposed city ordinance. Mayor wants the Common Council to put the proposal on a fast track for September when students return to college. Mayor Mark Junsrud said a Common Council committee will discuss the idea tomorrow night. So trying to get people to register for kegs. The La Crosse, Wisconsin proposal will prohibit liquor stores from renting more than 2 kegs of beer to any person or any one address or neighboring addresses within 48 hours. Buyers will need to sign a statement that they can drink legally or not allow anyone under age to drink from the keg. So, yeah, I don't know. This is about a Katrina story. Evacuees anguished at leaving pets behind. As Valerie Bennett evacuated from a New Orleans hospital, rescuers told her there was no room in the boat for her dogs. She pleaded, I offered him my wedding ring and my mom's wedding ring, the 34-year-old nurse recalled Saturday. They wouldn't budge. She and her husband could only bring one item. They already had a plastic tub containing the medicines her husband, a liver transplant recipient, needed to survive. Such emotional scenes repeated perhaps thousands of times along the Gulf Coast last week as pet owners were forced to abandon their animals in the midst of the evacuation. I saw that in Greta Van Susteren's program last night. She was talking to the stray dog was running around behind her in the water. At the hospital, a doctor euthanized some small animals at the request of their owners, who feared they would be abandoned and starved to death. He set up a small gas chamber of a plastic-wrapped dog kennel.
Eww.
The bigger dogs were fighting the gas. It took them longer. And when I saw that, I said, I can't do it, said Bennett's husband. Valerie Bennett left her dogs with the anesthesiologist who promised to care for about 30 staff members' pets on the roof of the hospital. So, those poor people with the pets getting euthanized. Horrible. Well, you can't take them with them, but I saw in one place where they have the pets rounded up in a convention center or ballroom where they're letting people get reunited with their pets, and they're sending pets. We're getting, I think, 100 pets here in Las Vegas to the the pets that were left, strayed from their owners during the Katrina mess. So, and this is from Sunday. Fireworks explosion kills 7. This is in Acapulco, Mexico. 7 people were killed and 4 injured in a fireworks explosion in Mexico. The blast in a small mountain town outside Acapulco happened in a building that was also being used to store gasoline Five of the dead were children who were playing with a video game parlor in the building. What the hell? Selling gasoline from open drums is a frequent, though illegal, practice. Illegal practice in areas of rural Mexico where the state-owned oil monopoly is yet to open gas stations. Restrictions on fireworks sales are also flouted, but the volatile mix of a video game parlor, a gasoline outlet, and fireworks sales in the same building was unusual. I'd say so. But anyway, I think our guest is on the line, Dan Reel. We'll bring him on. Dan Reel, are you there, sir?
I am. How you doing?
Hi. Hi. Welcome back to the program.
Good to be back. How's the show going?
Doing very well. I changed the focus of the program now, a little bit more of a news coverage. Some news that the mainstream media is, it's not covering, or some news that stands out to me and the readers from throughout the week. But seems to have gone over it pretty well. So how are you doing?
Tired, but I'm doing okay. It's
really?
Been a long day, but
yes.
I'm doing very well, actually. Very well.
Now, those of you who are just listening, new to the program, this is Dan Reel. He runs the realworldview.com blog, which has really been doing very well. I mean, you had a give the listeners out there a kind of a nutshell what the Real World View is all about.
Well, really, it's about news in terms of what I'm trying to do. It started with the Natalie Holloway story, of course. And I have stayed with that, and I'm going to stay with it through the end. Mm-hmm. But rather than just clip and post from the mainstream media, I just started picking up the phone and trying to get involved and trying to develop some sources and do some reporting, as mm-hmm. opposed to just kind of following up on what the mainstream media is doing. So mm-hmm. that's really what the last 3 months has been the primary focus, along with trying to link a lot of other weblogs, because the difference in topic that I've been focusing on has brought in so many readers. I've tried to facilitate introducing them a little more broadly to other weblogs, because mm-hmm. there's a hell of a lot of smart, good people out there, or funny people, that don't get read enough. And from there, of course, we've had this terrible tragedy in New Orleans, mm-hmm. so I've actually begun picking up the telephone, and through different connections that I've developed from the Holloway story, mm-hmm. Both in media and on the ground, have talked to some people now who are kind of close to that situation, and I've begun doing some reporting in that regard.
Yeah, well, the newest thing on your blog right now is the possibility that Colin Powell is coming to the rescue for President Bush for the Katrina efforts. Huh? You might be think Bush will put him in charge as a point man to reconstruction of New Orleans?
Well, he's not commenting. He would probably be a good fit for it. That's on Radar Online, actually, broke that. I just saw that a little bit ago. They shot me a link, and I put it up. That there's talk behind the scenes that Landrieu's not commenting. Allegedly, Mary Landrieu is the one who kind of called for Colin Powell to get involved. Now, I understand they have a very good general down on the ground, or a lieutenant general, if I'm not mistaken, now, who's pulling things together, but I certainly could see somebody. I mean, this potentially, if they do push it to become a separate cabinet post, which I'm not sure I agree with, either way, Powell would probably be a good federal administrator, given his background and his military record. It's hard to think of anybody better, and it certainly might. It's positive in some ways, in that it would allow him to come back into the camp, the Bush camp. At the same time, given some of his politics, I don't know if it would set him up for a presidential run. I don't know how I'd feel about that. I mean, I do like the guy, but I'm not sure if politically he's quite as aligned.
Yeah, I don't see Powell ever running for president, because his wife said it one time, she didn't think he'd survive the campaign.
I'm not sure he's that type of an individual, actually. He may be too good a man to be a politician.
Yeah, yeah. And then, what's the news, latest on Katrina? I mean, we had the finger pointing is already starting, and who's at fault? In my opinion, they're all at fault. Everybody's at fault. Bush is at fault. The governor of Louisiana is at fault, and the mayor of New Orleans is at fault for that mess, because he could have brought in those bus. The mayor Nagin, he could have brought in those bus drivers in on overtime. And he didn't bring them in on overtime. He could have them get these buses ready to go. He could have the school buses pulled out to the outskirts of the city, ready for to be brought in to cut the people out.
There actually was a plan in place since the 90s. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Yeah, but they didn't execute it.
No, they didn't execute it. The Superdome was never meant to fulfill the role that it wound up fulfilling. It was supposed to be a shelter of last resort. They were supposed to mass the school buses at the Superdome. The people who didn't have transportation were supposed to have been brought to the Superdome to put on buses, taken out of town, and then the Superdome was supposed to act as a shelter only for those people who they had a lot of issues around evacuating. Either they were sick or they were really at the end of the time and running out of time. So that's really what the plan called for, and it didn't get done. That's a question that needs to be asked, because I understand how people were pointing at Bush, but I'll tell you, and I have spent some time looking into it. In the first place, as somebody who runs or manages a business, I can't always get people to do what I want them to do 15 minutes after they're out of my sight. What's he going to do? Go down there like Sean Penn with a paper cup and start bailing? I mean, he's one man. Yeah. He's the president, right? And I understand. I think there are problems there. I mean, I think the head of FEMA is gone, right?
Oh,
I think it's already decided, well, we can whack him and he can take the blame.
Yeah, that fat lady's already warming up for him, I'm afraid.
Well, it is, and I think what they're trying to do, and I'll tell you what really angers me about this, is that you have a local and a state government that is controlled, and I'm an independent, so I'm not a Republican, just for the record. But you have a local and state government that failed miserably, and it's controlled by Democrats, but yet the Democratic Party is looking at this being their chance to finally get their nicks in on Bush. And frankly, if there's problems there and who he appointed at FEMA and so forth, I agree that could be wrong. I mean, I'm not an all-or-nothing guy. I'm not going to say somebody's all right until I know what the facts are. But what I see is that people are using this to put in place an agenda that they've had for many years, for 8 years now, and it's enough already, because we have more important things to worry about than taking someone down because you're not happy about how he initially came into office.
Yeah, well,
it should really be focused on what's. I was talking to someone who's a retired military, and he's now a regional administrator in that area for emergency relief. And he was honest with me. He told me about the problems they had with FEMA, and they were there. I mean, I heard stories of where they wanted to get oxygen tanks to hospitals for babies, and their idea was, okay, let's go out and buy in bulk. Let's go buy, 500 or 1,000 of these tanks, because we need to get them to the hospitals, because when the tanks run out of oxygen, obviously they don't just refill. Yeah. You have to replace them. And so they would say, let's go buy 1,000 and have them sitting here waiting. And some people from FEMA would say, well, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it by hospital. You're going to buy, okay, when this hospital needs them, you're going to buy 40, and for this hospital, you're going to buy 30. Mm-hmm. And then they hand in the paperwork to get those, and someone says, well, the paperwork's not completed correctly. Go back and do it again. Now, people are dying while this is happening, and that's ludicrous. That's ridiculous, and that was something I heard that goes right directly to FEMA.
Yeah.
At the same time, I've heard some very good things. I think part of it had to do with what type of people you had on the ground, whether it was in Alabama or Louisiana or Georgia and so forth.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's everybody's fault. I mean, this whole mess in New Orleans could have been solved 20 years ago if the federal government would have stepped up, from both parties to fix these levees, extend them. I mean, the city's been sinking for years. They knew it, and they kept ignoring it. We had talking to Geraldo on an email, and Geraldo said that the Congress kept taking out, extending the levies through the years, through 20 years, because they saw it as pork in the budget. They took it out and gave the $20 billion to some other pork project, because they don't want that kind of pork. They want some other pork. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, part of that's true, but there's a history there, Sean, that goes back 20 or 30 years, and that is that there was a time back in the 60s and 70s where the Army Corps of Engineers developed a reputation as being a bit of a boondoggle in that every project they did, it was almost like where, you know how they've argued about cutting costs in the military, you're paying too much for a toilet, you're paying too much for a wrench. Well, the Army Corps of Engineers had that problem 30 years ago. And so there was a reaction, and it was in some cases well-founded by taxpayers, by government, to say, we've got to rein these people in. It was almost like we're at times where NASA got out of control and just started spending money, and there wasn't always the comeback to it or return on investment there should have been.
Yeah.
So part of that was you know, it fell under that influence. I'm not defending it, but that's why so much of it was looked at. Now, at the same time, there was a story I broke just 2 days ago or a day ago about the levee board. Now, and I don't know if you're aware of that, but there's a levee board in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the last 10 years, they've built an airport, they've built a floating, or brought in a floating casino, they've built a several facilities, a marina of all things, they put a fiber optic network around the levee. Well, they spent millions of dollars, almost $2 million, putting a fountain in with lights. Now, this is the levee board.
Yeah.
And so you get a situation where, well, how much money do we want to really pour into it? Because clearly this board, whose primary responsibility is supposed to be the levee, doesn't even know anything. You don't even have to be an engineer. All you got to do is be a friend of governor. And you wind up, because you're businessmen or people,
yeah,
you wind up doing things that are good for business, but not necessarily good for the levee.
Well, and they built that shopping center right there on the water too, and all that got wiped out. And then the casino, you know, Harrah's, that's now a police depot. Now they turned into a police depot, the New Orleans Harrah's Casino. So I mean, it's
right. The fact is, from the time of Huey Long, Louisiana, unfortunately, has had a reputation for one of the most corrupt state governments, and that's just its history. That's not politically motivated. It's history. I just posted a video on my site of two policemen looting in a Walmart. If you can believe that, and they're caught on camera,
really?
And they say, "Oh no, we're here to arrest the looters." Meanwhile, they're walking around with shopping carts.
I see.
And there are three articles I posted last night provided by someone from Louisiana of corruption in the police force, which goes directly to the mayor. I mean, my point was everybody was calling for Rudy Giuliani. Rudy wasn't working with the New York police force, which had its own corruption problems back in the 70s and into the 80s, but Rudy was part of cleaning that up. So you had a very different situation than we had in 9/11.
Dan, we got a question for Mark.
Hey, Dan, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Did you hear about all the police officers that quit and left, basically?
Yeah, I did. There were also a couple suicides. And part of that, at least part of what I know about that, is that some of it is linked with the corruption in the sense that these were not necessarily all, and I'm not I have two family members in law enforcement, so I'm not I'm a pro law enforcement guy, believe me. But the fact is, there was a fair amount of corruption there, it's been known, it's been written about, this is nothing new. And so certain elements of the police force, on the one hand, were not necessarily what you would want in that situation. The other thing that they did, and I was talking to a colonel in the Guard about this, is that what the smart thing to do in a situation like that would have been to pull the police force out of New Orleans and put them in a safe place on the perimeter, let the storm pass, because there's nothing you can do during the storm, and immediately send them in fresh, whether it's with boats, with whatever you need to do. You then put them back in on the ground. They didn't. They put them in the primary command center was a hotel that was not up to handling, I think it was even 100-mile-an-hour winds. It was a Holiday Inn or something. So, in other words, they subjected these police officers to weathering the storm and then turned around and expected them to play a role And I think some probably quit who were probably good and dedicated policemen who just threw up their hands in disgust when the local government didn't implement the evacuation plan, didn't have an intelligent strategic plan in terms of how to deal with what was going to come that everybody knew was coming. And so there's a few more, you know, there's a lot of elements involved in that. Some you can point to policemen individuals, and these are the same individuals who had family floating around in water in some cases.
Yeah.
I mean, two of them, you know, literally blew their brains out.
Wow.
Now, Dan, in the chat room, Publius Clodius said at Walmart made a public statement, I guess, to the effect that local police departments could take what they needed to maintain operations. What were these cops walking out of the Walmart with? Were they walking out with
sneakers?
Well, I don't know if they need that for operations.
I guess. Well, you know, you could, in case it started raining again, they were going to run like hell.
I guess.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen any Air Jordans at Walmart, so it might have.
Well, there is video on my website that you can go look at right now, and it was. Who was this guy? He's with CNN, Savage, I guess, Martin Savage.
Oh, Martin Savage. He's the one that talks with the authoritative voice, yes.
Yeah, and right. Who, yes. I hear he can't even get on the internet, but that's another story.
You're kidding me.
They're filming in the Walmart, and they go, and there's looters all over the place, and Martin goes, and the police are here. They're in aisle three, and they walk down, and there's two policemen, female policemen, with shopping carts, and they say, "What are you doing here?" And they look like kind of like Alan Funt just stuck a microphone, and they're, "We're here after the looters, and the looters are carrying out microwaves."
Unbelievable.
You know. Okay, I didn't know the situation on that. that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's ridiculous with these cops and everything. Some of them, they said 60% of force no showed and everything else. I mean,
a lot of them couldn't get there.
Yeah, a lot of them could get there, and then they. They said the mayor, he screwed up by not having a security force at the Superdome when they're bringing the people there. That's why all that hell broke loose at the Superdome, because he didn't send cops there, enough cops to maintain order at the Superdome. He had the rapings and, you know, people jumping to their deaths, and you sound like it was mayhem at the Superdome. I don't know how much of that is true, how much of that is exaggerated, because you watch like Fox and CNN, and you had these people calling in, you know, "I'm calling from the kitchen at the third floor of the Superdome, and some guy's holding the girl at knife point." I mean, who knows how much of that, you know, I'm sure some of that is true, but I mean.
Well, there's a story, and I haven't confirmed it, but somebody sent me an email just a while ago before I called in that there was a child raped.
You're kidding me.
No, and they said it's on video or something.
Oh, what the hell?
I have a link, and I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but it's a regular reader. It's not some person I don't know. But they said there was a credible report, and I believe they set the age at 3.
Oh, that's horrible. Where is this video at?
And they said there was video. I don't know from what network that this was someone. Now, it could have just been, you know, that could have been along the lines of, you know, what's his face, you know, we were shooting everybody. But I don't know that's confirmed. But if that type of thing, I mean, what I was thinking about was the cannibalism thing. Someone on television.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Fox mentioned that today, too, that there's stories about cannibalism, but that was like negated.
I saw a wire report on that behind the scenes. That's on. Nobody's been able to confirm that.
No,
that's just speculation.
It's crazy. And then what about this thing with Geraldo? Did you hear that? I mean, the New York Times went after him for they trumped up this whole thing about Geraldo, saying that he went in with to pick up this lady Florida and her dog Dusty, or no, it was the other lady with the turban. I forget what her name is, but anyway, they said that according to New York Times, this dingling the rights for them in the style section. I don't know what she's doing right about Geraldo and the Katrina thing, but she said that Geraldo pushed the Marines out of the way so he can get in there with his camera crew to film them saving this woman's life. You know, where they showed the whole video, and Geraldo was actually in front of the woman up the stairs of her apartment, and Geraldo was nowhere near the Marine guard. So, I mean, this is crazy.
And he supposedly made her. Is that the one he made walk to the helicopter twice?
Oh no! This is the African American. Oh, but no, that's Florida and Dusty the dog. He made her walk. Is that true? Geraldo made her walk to the helicopter twice?
Well, that's what I've heard. They didn't get the shot they wanted. Hey, can you jump back
what
in the water
hell?
Here? You know, excuse me. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Try not to move your arm so much this time, okay?
Oh, no. I hope that's not true. And it'd be horrible if Geraldo actually did that. I hope not. But, I mean, this you know, dits at the New York Times, you know, especially when they had the video of it, they show him where he was, and he wasn't, you know, pushing the Marines out of the way to get to this woman with the turban. I mean, it's just nuts. You
well, know, let me tell you something. If you really, and I used to enjoy Geraldo.
Yes.
Between watching what he did in the Natalie Holloway coverage, which was outrageous, it was, he should be sued.
Really?
And well, certainly. Come on now. I mean, listen. He was up there. He reported in the first week that this kid, Joran Vandersloot, was selling child pornography videos.
Yeah. And on the
well, none of that is true. It's. I mean, I know what those allegations were. They didn't exist. They were nothing. And this is a man who went on national TV, and whether you want to hate this Dutch kid or not is irrelevant to the point that somebody who pretends to be a journalist is out there basically doing just nothing, just any rumor, any you know, sensationalist crap. So I was disappointed, and I'm a big Fox supporter, and frankly I can't watch much except Brett Hume anymore after seeing.
Dan, we got the video here of Martin Savage in the store here. We're going to air it on Subject to Discussion. That's why it's good everybody listen to this program live, because now we're showing it live on the. On the big screen here behind me now. Let me get the mic in my hand. There you go. There's Martin Savage confronting the cop, and he's walking out with something, looks like. So it's unbelievable. I guess I should be talking like Martin. I'm Martin Savage. But it's just ridiculous. You know, and Walmart's actually doing a lot for the Katrina people. They've donated, I forget how many millions of dollars. And then they're opening up like mini Walmarts actually in the Astrodome, and a lot of the stuff they're giving away for free and things like that. There you go. There you go with the sneakers. There you go.
Yes. But I want to know if Savage went out through the hair gel aisle. No. Come on.
I don't know. It's ridiculous. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm on the air. It's ridiculous.
It's pretty sad. I'll tell you, if anybody gets, if you get a chance to think of it, there's a site that did a thing yesterday on Wuzzadem, WUZZADEM, and it's www.wuzzadem.com. And he did a little screen set, like 20, 30 shots of newscasters on, and it was just hilarious. The CNN, he did Anderson Cooper, he did he did them all. He did Fox, and it was hilarious. I linked to it. A lot of people did.
Huh.
And it's just a sad subject that it's almost like I could just see these people down there fighting over a child, you know? Well, like, who's going to get the shot with the kid?
I don't know.
Give me a break, will
you? In the second hour, we're going to really go over what the media is doing. But, you know, I want to mention about Geraldo. I mean, it's good he saved all these people and blah, blah, blah. But do you have to play the Pope funeral music while you're saving that poor woman? It's like, you know, that's the music they played when the Pope died. That music when he was, you know, taking the woman to the helicopter is the same music they used for the Pope.
I could just picture him riding in on a helicopter with the Ride of the Valkyries playing, you know.
Well, somebody said he should be playing the Superman theme music when he came in. I mean, it's crazy, you know. And then, I don't want to get in the whole media thing, because doing the media thing in the second hour. But, I mean, and then O'Reilly had to rein him and Shepard Smith in, because the two of them were breaking down and crying on the air with O'Reilly. And O'Reilly had to be the one to say, hey, we got the picture, enough. You know, he went ahead. O'Reilly of all people had to be the voice of reason. You know,
if he'd been in New York, O'Reilly probably would have slapped him. Since you schmuck, straight up.
I don't know. And then now we have the waters are receding. Correct. They put on Big Daddy, the big pump. I guess is starting to work. That's supposed to be million.
Yeah, it's receding. They think at least the last report I saw was they're still thinking 7 to 10 days or 2 weeks before they really see
what's underneath
there.
What do you think now? I heard estimates could be 20,000 bodies underneath there.
I started talking to a retired military type who is in emergency planning and in that area, and we started talking about numbers, and we started talking that, you know, 5,000 dead would equate to the combination of Iraq and Afghanistan and 9/11 total, and that's how significant it was. By the time we finished the conversation, we were talking about Vietnam, which is 58,000. And no one has suggested that number. The highest estimate I've heard behind the scenes, absolutely highest with nothing to pin it on, was 40 to 45. I talked to one person who told me specifically that he's got 2,500 bodies in Mississippi that are refrigerated.
Oh.
And so when you start looking at a number, I've heard 20 to 25,000 for New Orleans. And if you start looking at the possibility of another 5,000 throughout the rest of the entire South, you're at close to 30,000 people. I've heard that I was specifically told by two people that they feel, this is not absolute 100 confirmed, but they feel very strongly that it's known that this number is going to rise, that it's going to be somewhere in the 25 to 30 range conservatively, but that they really do not want to, it's so devastating that they are going from 100 to, first you heard 100,
yeah,
and then you heard thousands, and then a senator last week said 10,000, and they're kind of floating numbers, and I think it's going to be exactly like it was with the tsunami, that this number is going to drift up. And in some ways, I don't think it's disingenuous in that I don't think the government really will release a number until they confirm that, okay, this is accurate.
Yeah.
But I've talked to military people who've flown over the area in helicopters and done, from battle experience, the type of assessments you would do.
Yeah.
And say, okay, look, this percent of the population got out. Here's how many houses are gone.
Hmm.
Here's how many roofs are gone. And based on that type of an analysis, was that the number that I had heard, just purely speculative, was 35 to 45.
Wow.
Total.
That's horrible. I mean, I don't know. It's unbelievable. That's just people who are dead right now. You got people sick and dying from being in that water, or being without medicine.
Well, and you're going to have a lot more. I mean, people are going to continue to die for months from this, or at least a month and a half to 2 months from disease. There's the possibility of cholera. You have one report I got, which made an excellent point, unfortunately, is that because of all this water that came inland, you now have pools of dirt that have been saturated for the first time in a long time.
Mm.
You have mosquito breeding grounds. They're going to hatch in about a week or
two.
They do carry disease. They can transport disease from one to another.
West Nile virus,
yeah. So you're just going to have a lot of factors that are going to make, and they will, that will be more affecting people who are weaker or older or more vulnerable or younger, but that can continue. It's going to be like an ancillary death toll.
Yeah.
So there are the health concerns, after the initial, X were killed because of the water, which we don't even know yet, you are going to have to allow for another number that could be significant who succumb to conditions.
Huh. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, you get people dying. And what do you think of these celebrities all showing up down there? I mean, Oprah and Jamie Foxx were down there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, for some reason I think it's good to boost their morale. But other ways, like I said, in the LV Rocks board, I think it's they're treating like a zoo. Everybody's down looking at the, look at the people. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle on that. What do you think?
Well, honestly, I think that many of them are good-hearted.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, many of them are stupid. And by that, what I mean is that they're thinking either from a purely emotional base, not a practical one, or in some cases they're thinking from a promotional base, which I think is less. I think people generally are good, but they just don't think that, right now is not a time for people to be trooping around and hauling camera crews.
Mm-hmm.
Every person that goes down there has to eat, has to exist, has to be transported. All of those resources, no matter how insignificant, should be dedicated to the job one. We can take pictures later. We can have people sit and cry later. And I don't mean people involved in the tragedy, but people at home. right now, let's get to work and let's stop the show business. You
absolutely.
Know, it's just not necessary.
Absolutely. I mean, I work at Caesar's Palace, and Celine Dion, you know, went on to Larry King and started bawling her eyes out and rambling on. She didn't know what she was talking about. You know, it's like I said, get this thing solved first, and then we can go back and rehash this and, you know, point the fingers. As I said, it's everybody's fault. It's the entire government's fault, you know. It's
well,
the city, state, and federal.
Is, yes, it is to an extent, and but to me, see now, being independent but being conservatively minded, what it says to me is, and I will say this, and I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, to me, I don't believe the government can take care of me. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I think that's what I have to do. I got to look at the weather report, and I don't care if I got a hitchhike. I got to haul my ass out of the way. Now, some people are sick and whatever, couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. The problem, I don't know if you've seen any of the coverage, but and I found it disappointing, and I don't mean this to be mean, but I saw people standing in New Orleans who were, for all intents and purposes, healthy, and they were saying, you know, where is my water? Where is my this? Not where is the, but where is my this? And the point I'm making is that I think it's very sad, and I'm not blaming them, but a certain part of our culture, and it's not about color, it's more about money and socioeconomic class, mm-hmm. We've allowed a certain part of our culture to become dependent on the government for everything. And this was a storm that overpowered our government, and if you look at the magnitude of it, it was probably going to do that no matter what. And so you really do get to a point where some of these people, certainly not all, they're all victims no matter what, mm-hmm. but some people have been taught that the government is going to take care of you, and the government can barely get us a driver's license. I'll be damned if I want the government worrying about my life in a storm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a horrible event. I mean, I came back to the celebrities, like Oprah and all them. I mean, you know, I read where she gave like what $5-10 million to the cause and everything.
What's
and,
that? 2 days?
Yeah.
Salary. That's great. Now listen, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Oprah's going to save the day, isn't she?
But why is the mayor riding around in a helicopter with her? Is that where he should? Is that what you know? Is that the best application of his time?
Yeah. Well, and
you know, you talk about George Bush and he wasn't there. Why is the mayor? Why the people that voted for him are dying underneath the roofs in that town, and he's up above them in a helicopter with Oprah.
Yeah.
What the hell is that about?
Well, and then you have all these senators showing up. They had nothing to do with the area. He had Frist showing up, you know, and you know, Geraldo saying, "Oh, he's there not as a senator. He's there as a doctor." You know, BS. He's there as a senator. And then Obama shows up there with Oprah, and then Hillary shows up. I mean,
well, Hillary was there for 3 hours. I thought maybe she was going to change her residence and run there.
and then what's her name? Condoleezza Rice shows up and just coincidentally had a camera crew filming her, you know, carrying boxes out to her truck. I mean, come on. I mean, get out of the way for the Red Cross and the Salvation Army. You know, these celebrities, they're going to do some. I mean, what's his name? Boat sunk. Sean Penn had a boat there out there, and they had to put the damn boat, and he's there with the paper cup, a styrofoam cup, dishing out his boat. Yeah, you know, I mean, get out
video.
Of the way.
That was
know?
A great video.
Yeah,
I
it's actually, ridiculous.
I really despise Sean Penn becoming a journalist. He was pretty good. He was a good actor. I have to say, he was a good actor, but geez.
Oh, hello. So anyway, Dan, we're running out of time here for this hour, so our time is up, and I thank you for being on, sir.
Thank you. Great to be back on.
Well, thank you. Hope you have you on again very soon. I always like talking to you. It's always informative, and you have a hell of a good blog there for you. So I congratulate you.
I appreciate it. You got a great show. Take care, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And that was Dan Reel from the worldworldview.com. We appreciate him. Whoop, hello. We appreciate him being on. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the second hour. We don't have a subject for a discussion, but then we'll have Bob Sassoni to come on to talk about the media's coverage of the Hurricane Katrina mess, and we'll be reviewing that in just a few minutes. I'm Sean O'Mac. We'll be back. How many minutes?
It's looking at about like four and a half minutes,
and we'll be right back, and I'll give away my little bit of Galactica news and an update, and then we'll bat around some stories, and then we'll bring on Bob Sassoni from the TV squad. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. I didn't do that in the opening hour, so I want to get that in. It's my little catchphrase, you know what I mean? Like talent on loan from God, like Rush says, you know?
Oh, man. No,
Reverend
Sean, no.
Jackson.
No.
What do you mean? This is the only show on LV Rocks that matters. Wait, I'm sorry.
Are we gonna,
this is a damn.
Are we going to have to put SD?
Screw the rest of those shows on LV Rocks.
Do we have to put little SD2 things on all the microphones?
Yeah, absolutely.
The EB
the golden S2D microphone on the high top of the Attila Lawn chair in the garden spot of Las Vegas, I'm telling you. Garden spot my ass.
In Subject to Discussion Broadcasting Network.
Yes. The logic in broadcasting, it's lib. No.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
Or great logic in broadcasting. Glib. There you go. I can be glib. The Glib Network. No. Anyway, we're going to be having on Bob Sassoni, if he hasn't changed his mind, in just a few minutes to talk about how the media has been doing with the Katrina coverage. And really, I don't have any, only two, no, not too much, none, no. I only have two pieces of Galactica news. I'm sorry. You know, I thought I'd have an interview, and they're shooting, you know, episode 12 right now, and, you know, Koenig hasn't gotten any news. And actually, I've gotten some complaints that, you know, the show's turning into a spoiler zone for the show. And somebody on Sci-Fi Board that says they won't listen to it anymore because it's giving away all these plot twists and everything else. Well, I don't know.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Exactly.
People get mad if you didn't talk about the stuff.
Yeah. And it's becoming, you know, it's difficult getting these cast members on now. Now I'm playing phone tag with Vancouver, and you know, those calls are getting expensive. So I'm hoping now I'm going to reach out to the Stargate production office and see if maybe we get some stars on from Stargate now. So Galactica is starting to turn the other cheek at me. I'm gonna go after the Stargate people. So
I am a huge
Stargate you can conduct
fan.
The interview. Then I'll just pick my toenails over here in the corner with the goof here.
But anyway, I'm gonna have to bring you my collection of Stargate. You are gonna start watching it. I don't care what you say.
No,
episode one.
I'd rather watch Space 1999 than sit through all that Stargate stuff. I like Atlantis, but I just cannot get into SG-1. I'm sorry, I can't get in SG-1. Atlantis is okay because it's right before Galactica, and I could suffer through it for the hour, but I can't get my logic around that. So, and the only bit of news I have is that there you go, there are the Cylons. There you go. I thought there was one more. Isn't there the third one?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And the only news I've gotten for Koenig Rules this week is that apparently in episode 212, I believe he said, one of the first shows in the second half of the season starting in January, that, we know that, spoiler alert, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, is that, of course, we know Kane's going to die in episode 211, and then Adama is going to be promoted to Admiral. Who's going to promote him? I don't know, because Kane is an Admiral, and Adama is a Commander, so who's promoting him? I don't know who's going to promote him. He'll promote himself, I guess. But Adama's going to be promoted to an admiral in order to take over the Pegasus. So I guess he's going to assume command of the Pegasus and become an admiral. And Koenig has said that they are, Ron Moore is already talking about season 3 already. So it looks like they are looking at a season 3 of Galactica. So, and with that being said, we shall, and of course last week there was no Galactica because they preempted it for a special marathon of SG Stargate Atlantis, or Stargate 1, or whatever the hell it is, SG-1 Stargate. And then it actually worked out well because I don't think they would have gotten any, not that many viewers because of the hurricane business. So man, it worked out well that they weren't on last week.
Would have gotten the same.
Really?
Yeah, because it was pretty much an entire week of Katrina on every single channel.
Yeah, people
looking
for an escape from it.
I mean, I actually forgot that it was going to not be on.
Really?
And I flipped over there and I was like, oh, shoot. Oh, wait, they're starting to play most of my favorite episodes.
Yeah.
The one where...
Look at me. I don't know.
For everybody out there that's a Stargate fan, my favorite episode of all time is the one that they were stuck in the exact same day.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason that is my favorite one is because Jack O'Neill and Teal'c were standing there in front of the Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
And they had golf clubs. And they were hitting golf balls into the Stargate, into some other planet. And Jack O'Neill looks at Teal'c and goes, that's got to be some kind of record.
Really? So maybe we'll get on some of the Stargate people. And then I read we're on the Judy's SFBuzz.net blog that starting in January, Stargate and Stargate Atlantis are going to go back to their opening music and everything instead of those brief little, theme music. They're going to go back to a full-fledged opening theme for both shows instead of this abbreviated 10-second little music thing. So that's good. So, and other than that, I'll not talk about my Galactica. Sorry. they say LaRocque's going to work with me on trying to get Richard Hatch on the show, so hopefully we'll bring him on, and hopefully Grace Park will come on in a week or so, because I'm coordinating it with Vancouver, so hopefully the taping schedule next week will be a little more lighter so she can be on, so it'll be nice to talk to her. So, I don't know, I guess I got some more news we can go over. We got a few minutes until Bob Sassoni calls in from the TVSquad.com. I had wanted to bring him on to talk about the new season of television, the news programs and everything else, but with the media intense coverage of Katrina, I figured it would be good to bring him on to talk about that. So, and I'll just read through a couple more little news items. This is from, Friday, from WFSB Eyewitness News Channel 3 in Hartford, Connecticut. A little boy left wandering in West Haven. It was a frightening first day of school for one kindergartner in West Haven, Connecticut on Friday. He was dropped off at the wrong place and was wandering around by himself. Jalissa Pena was at work when she got the frightening call from her fiancé. Her son, Justice, was wandering down the street just about a quarter mile from his home. He was found wandering by his mother's fiancé, who's a cab driver. Was that Rolando Cruz? I
don't know. That might have been.
and just happened to be driving by. The kindergartner was let off at the wrong stop after leaving the Forest Elementary School. At his mother's request, he was supposed to be dropped off at a daycare center in West Haven, but his teacher never got those instructions. And instead, the little boy was taken to a neighborhood across town. The assistant superintendent said that appropriate action will be taken against the bus driver. No, that guy should be fired. He has since apologized to the boy's parents. I'd say so. What if the boy was ran over and hit and killed it or something? It's ridiculous. This is from KCWY, the NBC affiliate, Channel 13 in Casper, Wyoming. Polish Mafia. This is police say they stole thousands of dollars worth of health and beauty aids from multiple locations in Casper. And now a judge says there's enough evidence for two Polish men to stand trial. According to police records, 25-year-old Robert Rutnowski and 40, blah, blah, blah. And they stole razors, teeth whitening products, and other cosmetic and hygiene products from Albertsons and Ross department stores. The items were then shipped overseas where they were three times the U.S. value in Eastern Europe. Both men work for a clean company that was responsible for the Albertson store and Casper. That's lovely. Lovely. At least we're exporting some goods now instead of importing. So our export deficit should plunge this quarter because of these Polish mafia shipping teeth whitening products and Bic razors and deodorant over to Poland.
We should be allowed to do that because European people in general seem to have issues with the teeth because there's not.
They have more of a problem with having their teeth. They have more problem. I work at a hotel. These Europeans are the smelliest people walking the earth because they don't use deodorant. Honest to God, they don't use deodorant. They don't use it, and they don't brush their damn teeth.
I think that's kind of generalizing stuff.
It's damn true. Anybody knows how those people smell.
Oh, talking to a bunch of my friends from over in England.
They
were saying, well, no, these guys didn't reek, but. Anyway, what they're saying about the whole tooth thing was that it's the whole government-controlled healthcare system they've got over there. They don't get to see a dentist as much as we do. I mean, most Americans go to get at least a teeth cleaning once a year.
Yeah. Well, look at the Crest whitening products, so hopefully they'll help them out. But, I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, it's true, though. Anybody knows, anybody who works in the casino, they know when somebody from Europe walks up to them because you could smell them coming a mile away because it's terrible BO smell. And they got the people, in Europe, they should be using deodorant because they know what they're doing. But Asia, some of those countries, they don't believe in deodorant. And some are like, oh, my God. Especially in Vegas, 110 degrees, and they walk up to you, you want to faint. They smell that bad. Here we go. Nightmares continue for British Columbia ferries. Nothing to do with homosexuals. This is from Canada.com. When a passenger throws himself off a ferry and swims home because it's faster, he's making quite a comment about the state of the British Columbia ferry system. Jay Leggett's leap echoed the frustration of many British Columbians who have waited an hours-long lineups in steamy cars, rereading the newspaper for a third time before a boat arrives. So these people, ferries in British Columbia are not operating up to snuff, I guess. Police threatened Leggett with mischief charged by jumping from a ferry in July to swim home to in time for a baseball game. One vessel among the 35-year-old fleet is out of service with a broken gear. Another will run at reduced speed on some trips because it has been having problems with its propeller. Horrible. Fix the damn stuff. Right. FBI arrests second UN official. The chair of a powerful United Nations Budget Committee was arrested by the FBI Friday in money laundering charges, a federal law enforcement official said. Vadim Kuzin, I can't read this guy's name, some Russian, who heads the General Assembly panel that oversees the UN budget, was the second Russian official to be arrested by the FBI for alleged money laundering in recent weeks. The charges were contained in a sealed grand jury indictment. Sort of money laundering. I mean, what is going on? So Kofi Annan had waived immunity at the request of the United States Attorney. So it's not known if he waived immunity for the other gentleman that was arrested for money laundering as well. So where are we at with time? I think we can bring on Mr. Bob Sassoni. Bob Sassoni from the TV Squad is joining us. Bob, you there, sir?
I am, Sean. How you doing?
Hi, fine. Thank you for being on the program.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Thank you. So I had a plan to invite you on to talk about the new fall season, but I think the we need to cover what's going on with the media a little bit more. Is a little more important right now than that. Do you agree?
Yes, priorities.
Yes. Now give the listeners out there not familiar with your site and an idea what you're all about.
Well, TVSquad.com is a blog. That's the hip term nowadays.
Mm.
And it focuses on television. It's updated every day, continuously throughout the day, with reviews and previews and interviews and essays and wise-ass commentary, the whole bit.
Okay. How long have you been blogging?
Well, I've been a writer for about 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And I've been working as editor of TV Squad since March or April, so 6 or 7 months.
Well, what is your background?
Been a writer for about 20 years, a lot of freelance writing, for too many publications to mention.
How about a few of them?
I've been a reporter and a journalist, and I had a book published a couple of years ago, and I'm working on a new book right now.
Very good, very good. And then what's the big news on your blog right now? It's Katrina, or?
Yeah, we've had a lot of posts about Katrina lately, especially when it comes to the media coverage and how the media, especially on the cable networks, are covering it.
Yeah, now, how do you feel they've been doing it? Like CNN, how do you think CNN's been doing covering this?
I think CNN, all the networks really are doing a fantastic job. You know, when you consider there's something inherently faulty about 24/7 news outlets. They have so much time to fill that you're bound to get a lot of garbage while you get the good reporting. But I think the reporters, especially the ones that have been on location there, they were there before any of the federal or local governments were there, helping out, reporting on what's going on. And I think they've been doing a pretty, reasonable, may I even say, fair and balanced job.
Really?
Down there. I think so.
Really? Now, I know...
with a few exceptions, of course.
Yeah, a couple of them have really been bashing away at the government authorities there. Because you're watching the... David Gregory, I don't know if you've been watching him. He was on MSNBC, and he had the White House press conference with McClellan, and they're just bashing him like crazy. They're going after McClellan like tooth and nail, huh?
Yeah, it's really interesting because this story has, I don't know, I think it's probably because they want to be more opinionated, but also because I think that they know a lot more than the governments, both local and the state governments do, that they're really getting on the cases of the people who are in charge, especially, probably the biggest example is Anderson Cooper, who really laid into Senator Mary Landrieu, live on the air, really got in her face. And you really don't see that from TV or news personalities, especially when they're interviewing politicians.
Yeah.
So that was rather refreshing. And the contrast between his brutal honesty and her kind of political, the typical political spin that you're going to give in this situation, patting each other on the back and kind of talking in generalities. That was really interesting.
Yeah, well, I watched that press conference that they had, Governor Blanco and then Senator Landrieu were having, and I was looking at Landrieu, like, I don't know if you have the footage but it's like her face was twitching, like she was trying to smile. I don't know if it was a nervous twitch or what. It's like, what is wrong with this woman? She's sitting there trying to break into a smile. I don't know if you saw that or not, but if you haven't, go back and watch it. It's fascinating. I'm like, what is this woman trying to smile about? It's a horrible situation and everything. But, yeah, I saw Anderson Cooper rip into Landrieu, and then he had, who else? And then Geraldo's getting nailed by the New York Times over him saving that woman with the turban.
Yeah, you know, I want to think the best. But with his track record and, you know, just the fact that, you know, just the fact that it's Geraldo, you know, it's great that he saved her and all, but you hear all these stories about what might have really went down and, you know, his background in trying to get the ratings and trying to make the whole story about Geraldo and then the hurricane. It gets your cynicism flag up immediately. But, you know, kudos to him. You know, he saved her, supposedly, so that's great. And her dog, too.
Yeah, and I found it odd that Lou Dobbs was kind of off for a few days before, you know, after this happened. I mean, he had a sub in there. You think all the top guns would have been brought back in, especially by CNN, you know?
Yeah, I remember during 9/11 there was a couple of big vacancies. I can't remember who they were, but a couple of really glaring regular people who were anchors on, at least on CNN and MSNBC, weren't there. I don't know if they were on vacation and didn't come back, or they wanted to put them maybe on the back burner for whatever personality reasons, possibly.
Yeah.
But it is interesting how a big story, whether it's 9/11 or Columbine or a space shuttle disaster or a major natural disaster like this, how the 24-hour news, you know, networks, how they play it, each one, how they do it differently.
Well, and then he had the big news, was it yesterday and today, that NBC, the news director, quit NBC.
Yeah, Neil Shapiro.
Yeah, so now they're having to scramble to get somebody else now to take over for NBC News, which also includes MSNBC.
Figured that he would have quit, you know, after the Hurricane Katrina story had kind of played itself out, if that's ever going to happen soon, and when the fall season finally started, but who knows? The news industry, the TV industry in general, is kind of an odd duck.
Yeah, and then now you see that their MSNBC is getting bashed for, they're saying that Rhea Cosby's been a colossal failure and everything else on with her program.
Well, can I be honest with you about something?
Yes.
I cannot listen to her.
Really?
Her voice, it just goes right through me.
I just can't
listen to her. I tried listening one day, and I kept on wishing that she'd clear her throat, but it never happens. So I just have to turn her off.
Yeah, well, she's like the big star now, and then I guess initially they want her to go up against O'Reilly, but I guess she balked at that, and they end up, you know, cramming her in there when it would be the first repeat of Hardball. They kind of crammed her in there before Scarborough Country.
Well, I know her first week, I think she did good in the ratings, and she actually had some good gets her first week. I think she had a couple of the Jackson jurors, and I think she was down in the Gulf Coast fairly early as well. So she had some good gets, but a lot of times with these news shows, or any shows really, sometimes you get a big boost in the ratings or a lot of hype and attention, and then it dies down.
Yeah.
She'll be moved to a different time slot, and then eventually, I don't know. She was on Fox already, I believe, so maybe she'll go to CNN eventually.
Now, speaking of CNN now, how do you think, you've been watching the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer?
Yeah, I've been forcing myself to watch it.
Yeah, what do you think about that program? I mean, it's like a bare bones type of they go all over the board with their coverage on everything, but how you feel they've been doing?
Well, it's like he's in a giant circuit city.
All the screens?
All these TV cameras, TV, you know, monitors and everything going on, and it's kind of overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I think Roger Ailes, I don't usually go around quoting Roger Ailes from Fox, but he said something about how it makes you sick.
Really?
To watch it, and he's kind of right. I think they're trying to do too much, and, you know, people should play the Situation Room drinking game every time that Wolf Blitzer says, you're in the Situation Room.
Yeah, he does get a little into that. Every show he's got to say, yeah, we're watching all the news, we can see the screens behind you, we know what you're doing, you know what I mean?
He's trying to make a big deal that it's live, and it's like, well, all of CNN's live.
Yeah,
like, calm down, Wolf. Calm down.
Yeah, I wonder how the ratings. You have any idea how the ratings are doing for the Situation Room?
No, I don't.
No,
I think it's something that they'll stick with, though. You know, he's a major personality there, and it takes up a big chunk of the afternoon. I think it's like 3 hours or so.
That's 3 hours. Well, he is CNN right now. I mean, they took off
the whole afternoon coverage, which is sad because they're putting. When you do that, you're putting a lot of your ratings eggs into one, you know, ratings basket in a way. So if it fails, it's one of those shows that fails big and it's very noticeable.
Yeah,
I'll have to fill in.
Well, I don't know how he's doing it because he also comes back on Sunday and does Late Edition too. So that man's on the Late Edition is 2 hours and he does 3 hours. That's 17 hours a week he's on the air. I mean, that's amazing for Wolf Blitzer. You know what I mean?
He gets time and a half, you know.
Yeah, but he's only off on Saturdays. You know, I mean, I don't know how he does it. You know, he hasn't lost his voice yet. You know. I don't know. And then, and we're talking MSNBC. Now, how do you think they've been doing with their coverage?
You know who I really like on MSNBC is Keith Olbermann. I think he does a really great job because he's, you know, he can be cynical and funny and sarcastic when he has to be, but when he has to be serious, whether it's the whole lung cancer thing with Peter Jennings and the scare that Olbermann had with, I think it was mouth cancer, you know, and you know, the things like Hurricane Katrina, he does a really good job. You know, I Countdown is one of the news shows that I watch all the time.
Yeah, I watch that show regularly myself, and I thought, well, you know what, he's another one that's been taking a lot of time off as well, as Olbermann. For a while there, he'd do Monday and Tuesday, and then he'd go away for the rest of the week.
He actually took off a lot of time. I didn't know either until he came back after Peter Jennings died and said that he had a growth on his mouth. From smoking cigars over the years.
So that's why
that was one of the reasons he was out. I mean, it was really bad. I guess he was, not to get too graphic, but vomiting blood and all sorts.
Really?
Of stuff.
Wow.
So, I think that's a lot of the reason that he took a lot of time off.
I guess so. I mean, well, that's good to know because I was wondering for a while there. He was like Monday, Tuesday, and then have that Allison Stewart take over. You know, for the last 3 days, and she's. You know, she tries to be a female impersonator, you know, of Olbermann. She can't pull it off the way he does.
It's kind of funny. Whoever they get in there, and it is usually Allison Stewart, they try to do the tone and the writing of him. I mean, maybe he does the writing for it. I doubt it. But they try to capture his tone, and it's a little off. He has a very, kind of like Jon Stewart, he has a very specific tone and quality to him that you really can't, you know, duplicate. It's kind of a one-of-a-kind.
Yeah. Trying to see, somebody saying I'm ignoring questions from the chat room, but I don't see any questions pertaining to the guest, do you? I don't see anything at all.
No, I think that was actually directed at one person.
Ah, okay. And then Fox, now I think, now Bill Hemmer switched over from CNN to Fox. Now he was supposed to anchor the noon hour of the Fox News Live, and now they shipped him off to the hurricane coverage. How do you think he's been doing?
I actually have not caught any of Bill Hemmer.
Really?
I thought that he was going to premiere later this month, and I don't know if they moved it up because of the hurricane.
They did.
Katrina coverage. I've caught like 2 minutes of him talking to one of the other anchors, and that's about it.
Yeah, he was he was supposed to show up on I believe it was a Monday, and they moved him up to Sunday to cover the hurricane coverage. And he was supposed to take over for what's his name, David Asman, who does the Fox or Forbes on Fox, wherever it is. So they moved him up. And if I was Shepard Smith, I'd be looking over my shoulder at Hemmer because, you know, Hemmer, you know, he did the American Morning and everything else. So
yeah, he's you know, I think he's going to be trying to make him into a star at Fox. It didn't quite work out at CNN because he you know, he was the co-host of American Morning, and then they wanted him to go to be a White House correspondent, I believe.
He turned that down.
He said no.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay on the show, and then that's when they parted ways. And you knew that he was going to show up somewhere else.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be Fox, and I didn't know it was going to be so quick.
Yeah, that
it
was.
Just, it's like I was saying earlier. It's interesting how these personalities can be. You watch somebody like Bill Hemmer on CNN for years, and he's got that CNN guy, at least in the morning.
Yeah, I mean,
and he goes over to Fox, which is a whole different vibe.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
And he's kind of lost in the shuffle over there in Fox, I think, because all the shows are, you know, again, hosts. Unless they get rid of somebody, he's kind of stuck doing the Fox News Live, you know, bits.
I think he doesn't really gel with the other personalities. There's a lot of forceful, opinionated personalities over there, and he's always been kind of the, you know, likable, mm-hmm. kind of average anchorman, kind of like a local anchorman, only on a national level type of thing. So I don't know how he's going to mesh over there.
I don't know either. I mean, because you got Shepard Smith. You know, he's not going to be leaving anytime soon, or O'Reilly and all of them. But, I mean, they had Hemmer's down in Mississippi covering the coverage down there. And then for some reason, they brought Shepard Smith. He was down there. They brought him back up to New York, and then they shipped him down to Mississippi. You've been following.
Shepard Smith was one of the first people down there.
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Letterman the other night.
Yeah, he was.
It's interesting because I've never really appreciated Shepard Smith. I've never really liked him. He has a real odd cadence to his sentences when he talks,
mm-hmm.
and he can be kind of irritating. But he hasn't been towing the Fox line, if there is one, of Fox News kind of attitude towards the administration, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He's been kind of actually blunt when talking to O'Reilly and being very brutally honest and mm-hmm. talking about how the help is not coming down there.
Yeah.
So I've actually been kind of rather surprised by that.
Yeah, that second day he was out there talking to the people as they're coming out of the water and everything.
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought that was very very moving as well. Well, and he's from that area. I think that's why he urged them to send him back down. He went down to Mississippi. That's where he's from.
Yeah.
He's down reporting. He did the Fox report from down there. But
there was
someone
on CNN. Hmm. I think it might have been Jean Meserve. I might be wrong, but I think she's from that area too.
Yeah.
And she always does a lot of great reports anyway, but she was particularly good during the hurricane.
Yeah, I think she's one of the ones that broke down. I know
right.
I said in the first hour they had on O'Reilly, they had Geraldo and Shepard Smith are both on there, and both of them were, you know, breaking down, getting emotional, and O'Reilly had to reel them back in. Yeah. But now, given this hurricane, all this coverage, how has that affected the networks, their fall seasons? How's that affected them?
You know, I don't know if it has, except in one instance. There's a new ABC science fiction show called Surface.
Mm.
Did ABC? No, I'm sorry, it's Invasion on ABC. Mm. And it's about a hurricane that hits Florida and weird events involving aliens, I believe, that come into the hurricane as kind of a cover to a world domination or something.
Huh.
And they've pulled the promos already.
Really?
And there's also hints in the TV world that they might push back the debut day as well. I think it's supposed to debut the third week of September.
Hmm.
But now they might, because it's so close to what happened with the hurricane, that they might push it back to October or November.
Wow.
Hey, Bob, I've got a question for you. I was listening to some AM talk radio. This is Mark, by the way.
Hi.
And I was listening to this one specific show while I was doing all this moving, and it's called Coast to Coast AM with this wacky, whacked-out guy. And there's all these conspiracy theorists on there talking about that we actually created the hurricane. The United States did. We figured out how to alter weather patterns, and you can tell we did it because there's a picture that has a big square black thing in the middle and all this other stuff.
Wow.
Have you heard about any of that?
I haven't. I guess it doesn't surprise me, but that's even beyond X-Files for me.
Yeah.
There's always been conspiracy. I mean, there was conspiracy theories about 9/11 and, you know, that we caused that or something, but so whenever something like this happens, there's going to be that fringe element that pushes that agenda. And now, because of the internet and the web and mainstream media wants to be more like the web, these weird fringe theories get out to the mainstream and to more people even quicker. Hmm. And when that happens, they seem to have more credence, which it sounds like a crazy theory to me.
I actually have this little news that Anderson Cooper actually beat Shepard Smith on Monday in total
really?
Viewers. Yes, so Anderson Cooper must be doing something good over there if he beat Shepard Smith. I mean,
well, that's probably just a temporary blip. Whenever you have these big stories, you know, if one network is doing particularly good coverage or controversial coverage or something like that, they get a big boost from that.
What day was that?
Monday night.
Well, that's because the only thing that Shepard's doing is hurricane coverage.
Yeah.
Most of the time he does the G Block, which has stories from everything.
Right. Yeah.
And lots of car chases from Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There was a pretty good one here in Vegas earlier today, too.
Really? I missed that.
Yeah,
I was watching CNN.
Yeah, I heard it on the news, on the radio.
Well, it's funny how Fox, you know, a car chase in Los Angeles gets wall-to-wall coverage, just like, you know, a space shuttle disaster or a hurricane does. They really keep it on there for a long time. And
well, it brings in the viewers. I mean, and then also they have CNN also beat Fox in the demo during the Situation Room Larry King Live and Newsnight. So CNN made some pretty good inroads on Monday against Fox there. And Newsnight with Aaron Brown, I mean, he's been doing pretty – his show's been two hours since this happened.
What time does that come on?
Aaron Brown, I'm not sure – I can't remember what time Aaron Brown comes on after Larry King. So
yeah,
Larry,
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, Larry.
Oh, okay,
King.
That's reruns of Fox,
Fox
News. So that's kind of
oh, no.
Given.
No, no, 10.
Yeah,
10,
that's
well, no,
Greta
7.
Van Susteren is a rerun of her earlier show.
No, it's 7 here. They're talking about 10 on the East Coast.
Oh, 10 on the
East
Coast?
So
yeah, I know they started. I think the rerun started at 11 on the
first run. Yeah.
I can't watch your show. So. I can't watch that at all.
How about
what show's that?
Greta Van Susteren?
Oh, God.
No, every time I see her, I keep thinking O.J. Simpson and facelift.
Well, yeah, and then she's down there, you know, going gaga over this over the hurricane, you know, bit, and she's, you know, wandering around talking to Hillary, and then, I mean, good grief, get her out of there. I mean,
well, it's
yeah.
like she, isn't she one of the people who went to Aruba?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, why even, you know, why bother?
Yeah, I think she's really got a condo in Aruba now, doesn't she? She's been down there for so long. No?
Was she missing too?
It's Greta? I don't know. I mean, she should be. I mean, it's crazy. And then all the networks have really seen, I'm looking at their ratings since this thing. I mean, initially the cable. Now, a question from the chat room is, what happened to the mainstream media during, where was ABC, NBC, and CBS? Where were they during this? They kind of all laid down.
They kind of dropped the ball a little bit on this. They're trying to pay catch up now. You know, there was a really weird sort of window,
mm-hmm.
the night or the day, maybe early morning, that the hurricane hit. And there were several hours where the media, even the cable media, didn't quite think it was going to be as bad because it didn't hit New Orleans straight on. So there was a big window of sort of, oh, the hurricane's hitting, and you saw various, you know, the regular journalists out there with it getting pelted by wind and rain. But it didn't become the big story until the following day when the levees broke.
Yeah,
so there was a weird gap in there where I think a lot of people thought, not just the people down there, but also viewers, thought that this, oh, it didn't hit New Orleans straight on, so it's probably not going to be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But people weren't thinking of, you know, weren't necessarily thinking of the levees breaking and weren't thinking of, you know, Mississippi and Alabama, which are to the right
mm-hmm.
of it. So there was a really weird window in there where I think the media was caught off guard, but the cable companies, because they are 24/7 geared towards that, they can catch up quickly where the regular networks can't.
Yeah, I was just surprised because you know, so Fox was down, CNN, MSN, they're all down there. Yet you were like, where's ABC? Where's Katie Couric and all them? And also now just the last couple of days they've all started to show up. They showed Diane Sawyer. She's dishing out like peas at some kind of food shelter. I'm like, oh my God, you know, get those people out of there. Let the people, you know, recover from their, you know, get their lives back. Just report what's going on. Don't stick them in these situations where they're dishing out food to these people. I mean, it's horrendous.
Yeah, I think the last person, well, besides Geraldo maybe, but the last person you want to see there are people like Diane Sawyer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
out of all the journalists in the world. The network news is kind of odd.
Mm.
Because you have the, you know, the 24-hour news stations and you have the internet. You know, when you have the networks who just do news, you know, in between 7 and 9 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe for a half hour or so at night, you know, and that's how they've done it for decades. You know, they really have to rethink the way that they're doing things. CBS is trying to do that right now. They're trying to, you know, since Dan Rather quit, they're trying to change what they're doing. They're even
mm-hmm.
asking their interns at CBS to find out what younger people are going to like. They might go to a multi-anchor format. They might go.
I've heard that.
You know, doing various stories on location, more of a magazine type format.
Well, I mean, I've noticed that the network news, over the several days after Katrina happened, they all expanded to an hour. So I think they might be testing this and see, you know, if they can do an hour a night, maybe like a news magazine type of a program.
Right.
Maybe from like out here in Vegas, it'd be from 7 to 8 to lead into prime time. I think that might be a good idea because a lot of these days, nobody's home at 5 or 5:30 to
right.
watch the network news. You know, why not expand it to an hour and put it on in front of the prime time lineup?
Well, with Jennings dying and Brokaw and Rather
mm-hmm.
Retiring, it's sort of, you know, the next generation is coming or has come already.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna, and it's timed with the internet changing things. so it's and with podcasts and things of that nature. It's just it's a really interesting time, and it's really interesting to see how, you know, maybe network news, you know, the typical half-hour network news that your dad liked, you know, won't be around in 5 years.
Yeah. Now, do you think that this Katrina coverage and where the cable networks have really, you know, jumped in front of the networks, could this be the death knell for the network news?
You know, I don't know. There are people who say that, you know, the network news, they aren't doing as well either ratings-wise or how they cover the news-wise. But they still get several million viewers. You know, they get a lot more viewers, say, than specific shows do on any of the 24-hour cable networks. They still get millions of viewers in, and it's sort of a traditional type thing that they might like to have there in that place. I think earlier I said maybe 5 years. I don't think network news is going to be gone for a very, very long time. It might mutate into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have all these media companies, you know, owned by the same people, you know, you might see some kind of joining of the forces there to change the way that the network news is.
Yeah.
But I don't see a nightly news program leaving the main networks for at least 10, 15, 20 years.
Wow.
If ever.
Yeah, once again, this is Sean O'Mac. I'm with Bob Sassoni from TVSquad.com. And I'm reading on your site. What do you call it? Yours is really a site, not really a blog, is it? I mean, I guess it is.
It's officially a blog. I think the logo says blogging television.
Okay.
But, you know, it's everything you could get from any TV site, you know, reviews, previews, interviews, essays, longer features, you know, you name it. Only you shove in some links.
Yeah, I've read about your the aftermath about praise for CNN's Tom Foreman. Really, he's really stepped up, you know, showing all those graphics and everything about, you know, the before and after of New Orleans and everything. It's incredible. The maps, you know, it just he's really stepped up. I don't know. Actually, the last time I saw him was on that on the record, on the story, whatever it is they do on Saturdays. And then
on the record, I think. Yeah.
On the record. No, on record's Greta's show. I think they do on the story. Yeah, you got to keep all these shows straight here. You got On
I'll
the Story.
Greta on the mind, you know.
Yeah, you got On the Record. You got something with Greta Van Susteren, you know. Actually, her sister's running for office. Her sister's running for some post somewhere. I read that somewhere. I think her name is Lisa Van Susteren.
Really?
Yeah, she's running for office. And, but I mean, Tom Foreman, I mean, the last time I saw him, they had him on, Aaron Brown had him on after Peter Jennings died. And then it was, you know, it's the first time I realized, who's Tom Foreman? Yeah, you've seen him, but nothing really too prominent. But he's really stepped up. He's been all over the Situation Room and, you know, on Aaron Brown. Now, some people suggest that maybe Aaron Brown might take over for Peter Jennings. What do you think about that?
You know, I don't think he has the personality for it.
Yeah.
I think he's sort of too laid back and, dare I say, thoughtful when it comes to stories. I think he really fits in best having his own two-hour show and where he can do some more in-depth and, you know, thoughtful type of interviews.
Yeah.
There was some talk about, there was even some talk of Anderson Cooper going over to CBS.
Oh, kidding me.
To do that. But for the same reason, he's kind of a quirky personality. And I don't see him doing any kind of a network news type thing.
Well, actually, Darth Nagin has said that could Oprah anchor a network news program?
Oh, God.
if she did that, I would go and throw rotten eggs at that. Oh, that is one thing that would make me do that.
Newscast.
I'm sorry, what?
It would be a self-help
No way, she's going to host it. Actually, I'm from Chicago, and when she first came to town from Baltimore, she did anchor the 4 o'clock news on Channel 7 in Chicago with Joel Daly, and, you know, she was okay, but she didn't last very long. She lasted maybe a year before they gave her AM Chicago, and then it's amazing, because I was there when she first started. I can't believe that woman is now, you know, the wealthiest African-American woman in the world, and all, you know, and woman, period, I guess, in the world. But
person, period.
Yeah,
well, one of the richest persons, like top 10 or 20 or something like that.
I mean, now getting back to the Katrina thing. Now the media itself, are they doing a positive work down there, or do you think they're just exploiting this story?
Well, you know, like I was saying, because you have so much time to fill, even the good work can kind of melt into exploitation. You have so many reporters down there covering so many angles and so much breaking news. I mean, everything's breaking news now, by the way. You can't have any regular... With that scroll at the bottom, my God, everything is breaking news.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, everything from, you know, you can have a scroll that'll say, you know, 3,000 deaths from Hurricane Katrina. Then the next sentence will be Britney Spears to release new album.
Yeah.
You know, there's no break anymore. I'd love to see those scrolls just go away, but. So with so much news to cover, and they're covering it 24/7,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's going to be a lot of exploitation and mm-hmm. a lot of repetition of the stories that they do. And, but they are, you know, you got to be fair to them. They are doing a lot of work down there, and a lot of stories are quite good, actually. And a lot of the reporters are doing a great job too, and you really appreciate them in times like this now.
Yeah, I mean, well, I hope they could do some good. Like even Hillary said, told Greta, I think she kind of, you know, like spanked her, told her to stop covering these, you know, celebrity moments of the month and all that, and get the, you know, stay on the story. So maybe now they will. You know, it's like Greta, you know, she's, you know, held up these pictures and everything. So hopefully they'll do some good in reuniting some of these families down there.
Right.
You know, with the you know, hurricane coverage, but
it's you know, one of the most horrifying things that's ever happened in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know. In the past, you know, 40 years, it's a life. I mean, it's literally a life-altering thing. So if the reporters down there can do even a little bit of help, it'll be interesting to see at what breaking point they'll start covering other things.
Yes, I was just going to ask you.
At what point the reporters will either leave, or even if they don't leave, the networks, the cable networks, will start going on covering a more balanced. Rotation of stories, you know, will it be like when the water level gets down? Will it be when they get a death count? You know, a final death count. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, what kind of timetable do you give the networks when they start pulling away from this?
You know, I don't know. This is kind of an unprecedented kind of story, and so it's really hard to say. I mean, I think they're all making it up as they go along too. It was sort of like 9/11. Yeah. And 9/11 was unprecedented.
Yeah.
And they covered that, even the networks, the three main networks covered that wall to wall for a while, for like a week, something like that. But this has even more bigger legs because it's affecting more people, and you have, you know, evacuees. I refuse to call them refugees, by the way. Okay. The evacuees go into so many different states, and there are a lot of people who might not be able to go home again or might not want to go home again, so... You're going to see, even when it comes to the point of not covering it wall to wall, you'll see the human interest stories, and you'll have, you know, that type of thing still going on for weeks and weeks to come.
Mark had a question.
With do you remember when 9/11 happened, how that altered how even just the look and the feel of all the major news networks? They started all the scrolling stuff. They started all the crazy things that were going on the screens. I mean, I really noticed it with, like, Fox and CNN were the ones that started really pushing it. Do you think there's going to be anything like that for this Katrina one?
No. I don't think that they can fit anything else on the screen without having maybe the anchor in a little box somewhere on the screen. I think Saturday Night Live did a really funny sketch about that.
Yeah, how much,
a couple years ago.
How much more garbage can I throw up on these screens? You know what I mean?
I like it myself because I have it at work on
yeah,
know,
you can read the scroll.
Yeah, you just read it instead of listening
to it.
Well,
I think the cable news networks want to become websites. You know, they want to have that look, the feel of, you know, News Now and all these, you know, things scrolling at the bottom and stock reports and weather and the time and the latest news, and it gets to be a little bit too much. Where am I supposed to look on the screen?
Yeah, well, they don't want you tuning away. I mean, that's the point. They want you to keep you reading that bottom of the screen there,
right,
making all the news go by. You know,
right,
what I mean? I guess it's, I don't know if it's a good thing. I don't know. I remember when they did it after 9/11. Like, what is this? And then there's that, and there was like another scroll on top of that scroll with the death count from 9/11. And then there's something else on top of that, like the Red Cross numbers. I'm like, how many screens are we reading now?
Well, after 9/11, I really appreciated it after 9/11 because it was new. It was such a big story. There was a lot of things happening in the first couple of weeks. But after a few weeks, I was sort of like, all right, now they're starting to mix in other news in that scroll. And it got to be, and it's getting to be, you know, just too much. You know, there was a time for several decades when the news stations didn't have any scroll. And I don't think that people are going to feel more out of touch if they get rid of the scroll. I think the scroll is probably here to stay, probably because of the internet.
Yeah.
They want to have that look of the screen and also the continuous news. So I think that's something that
I'm kind of surprised that the scrolls don't go on even during the commercial breaks. You know what I mean? I'm surprised that they take them off. But I thought they.
I think they do on CNBC. The stock quote.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
that.
Do.
Yeah, but I mean, actually, the news. The news scroll. I'm surprised the Fox and CNN and all of them don't keep that going during the commercials. You know, because that's when people tune away.
Probably be a little ticked off at that.
Well, I mean, it's you know, they tune away during the commercials. If they have that news scroll going, you keep reading the news scroll while you're watching the commercial. You know, I mean,
well, that's true. I mean, maybe that's the next step. Maybe we'll see one of the networks step up and actually
probably do that. Huh?
You do the scroll during commercials.
It's my idea. I might copyright that.
It's only like 16 pixels tall, so it's not very big. It's not really cumbersome on it.
Now, looking, and we got a few minutes left. I'm looking towards the. I'll bring on a couple weeks to talk about the fall season in depth. But looking at the season right now, what are a couple of good shows that are going to be coming on that you know we should not miss?
Well, there's a couple of shows that are getting a lot of critical buzz. One is My Name is Earl on NBC with Jason Lee. He plays kind of a loser. I think he wins the lottery or something, and he tries to fix all the wrongs that he's done in his life.
Mm.
And the other is Everybody Hates Chris, which is the Chris Rock sitcom on UPN.
That's going to be great.
I heard that's supposed to be a hilarious show.
I can't wait for that.
That's the show that they're bumping, it's been on Thursday, so they're pushing that SmackDown over to Fridays, right, on UPN.
Right. I'm not up on my wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to be a part of a wrestling show. But, yeah, they're moving SmackDown to Fridays because to make room for the Everybody Loves Raymond or Everybody Hates, whatever the hell it's called. What's the name of that show?
Everybody Hates Raymond.
Everybody Hates Raymond.
Well, you know, if they bump the wrestling shows, I'm kind of happy about that because I wish they'd just bump them into oblivion myself.
Well, I think I've been watching the U.S. Open coverage, and they've been having commercials for wrestling is coming back to
USA Network. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I mean, can you say the Chris Rock show is good? What's My Name is Earl?
My Name is Earl, yeah.
Now, anything else coming? I mean,
well, there's a lot of, like, science fiction, horror.
I see that.
Shows because Lost did so well.
Yeah. Invasion. What's the other one? Submerge
Surface,
or something? Surface?
Surface and Threshold.
Yeah. Now, are those shows, I mean, I don't know. Those shows, that's NBC. Usually those shows don't survive in the networks. Sequest didn't last.
With so many shows like that premiering, there's got to be the law of averages says that you got to have one that's good.
Yeah.
And the one that people are saying is good is Threshold.
Threshold. Now, what's that one about?
Aliens.
Oh.
I don't know.
What about Revelations?
I know that Carla Gugino is in it. Who was in Kill Bill.
Yeah. Really?
She's always been one of my favorites, so that'll be on my TiVo.
Right. Now, I'm surprised they didn't brought Revelations back, because Revelations did well in the limited run that they did with that show, Revelations.
Yeah, I think a lot of times actors just sign on for 5 or 6 episodes, so even if it does well, they're on to other things, and it's just forgotten.
Yeah. Now, what about the cable networks? I mean, I know USA is trying with that 4400, or whatever it's called, and then the ABC is going to try and catch lightning in a bottle with the Commander-in-Chief, with Gina Davis. So I think that one's going to do it. She's playing the first female president.
But that's getting, you know, if I'm
critical
to believe,
buzz.
If I'm to believe things like Entertainment Weekly and TV Guide, Commander-in-Chief is actually good.
Yeah.
To me, it looks kind of, I don't know, West Wing light, sort of. It just seems... just a little bit overdone, even from the promos that I've seen.
Now, you think the interest in these programs, especially the dramas, are going to be washed away with the Katrina mess? Because people are going to say, oh, it's so depressing with Katrina, we want to watch some comedies again. You think it's going to swing the TV back to the other way, towards the comedies?
It's hard to say. I mean, after 9/11 happened, you know, there were so many things in the first, even, it wasn't just a couple of weeks, even a couple of months after 9/11, people were saying that irony is dead, humor is dead, we'll never look at entertainment again, and pop culture won't mean as much. And, of course, now that's ridiculous. I mean, even Letterman's making jokes about terrorism in New York City. So that could happen, but also people might just look at them as separate things and want a little escapism in a few weeks.
I hope so. I hope, like I say, I do a Galactica segment, and that show was off the air last week, so hopefully they'll get a little ratings bounce from that. And that show's gotten huge reviews, but every time they air it on NBC, the ratings tank. So
what show's that?
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that's one of those weird, you know, it's a cult show. We cover it extensively on TV Squad because we have a lot of readers who really dig it, who are really, really into it, obsessively. So we do cover it. But, you know, cable, especially channels like Sci-Fi Channel, I don't really know how their ratings work on networks like that.
Yeah.
So even if they do really badly, they still might do okay for that network.
Yeah. Well, Bob, we have to let you go. We're at the end of the program.
Sure.
And I thank you for being on. It was very enlightening talking to you. And I said, well, I would like to have it back in a couple of weeks. We could talk about the fall season in depth a little bit. All right?
Great.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Bob Sassoni from thetvsquad.com. And as of right now, I don't have anybody lined up for next week because the Grace Park thing is still in the air. And I'm working on getting somebody from We the People Coalition on, so we'll see what happens with that. So stay tuned next for Wild Women in Las Vegas, in Vegas with Amber. And don't forget, Daily Noise is from 10 till 12 weekdays. And Vegas S&M is tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow night.
And Spankwagon is on Fridays from 6 until 8. And then Renegades of Comedy is on Saturdays.
4 to 6 and Miami Ice.
Miami Ice.
8 to 10.
That's right.
Thursday.
And we wish you all a good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.